Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, turkey lovers and gift wrappers. My name's Ian, and with me is Jared. And
I'm Jared. I'm Jared with my bad voice.
Shut up. One day you'll have the plague, and I'll laugh at you. My name is Jared, and with me is Ian, the Santa Claus man.
That's me.
This is take two after a stupid error, and we're not doing any better. So
I am the gift that keeps on giving.
True that. We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at the table. Today, we are going to be providing our holiday gift guide. I'm going to suffer through with a plague, and you're going to laugh and hopefully get a little bit of entertainment out of this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stop talking now and let Ian tell you something.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you a story. The story is that the snow is falling, not in Tennessee because it doesn't snow here, but somewhere else where gaming happens. The cocoa is on the table, cooling, and the board games from the shelf are calling. We're here to help you find perfect gifts for every type of gamer, including, family gamers, heavy tabletop gamers, non-gamers that want to play games. Anyway, we're here to help you and have a buyer's guide light. And here we go. We're here.
We will go ahead and give the disclaimer on the front end that in no way is this list meant to be an exhaustive list. But yeah, we'll jump into it. Ian and I have several different categories that we've put together. I've put together some two-player games and some kids' games. Ian's gone with party games and some heavier games.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about some family weight games together.
Yeah.
But before that...
Yes. Well, Ian, I have something for you.
Okay. You do. I knew you had a question for me.
I do have a question
for you. We're that in sync.
Yeah. And really what I want to ask you, so like when you're looking at the holidays, one, you know, we all love Thanksgiving. We all love Christmas. And I think those are all great opportunities for gaming. Do you have one or the other that you prefer or you get the most gaming in as far as either the holidays or New Year's as well? Is there one that you like has designated as far as like, I'm going to try and get more games in here, or it kind of is what it is on both of the holidays when all the family's together?
I mean, I definitely think the easiest time to get in gaming is New Year's because there's just nothing else going on other than we're waiting for the end of the night.
We're waiting.
So there's no like, everybody's bringing 1,000 pounds of food for Thanksgiving, and we have to sit around the table and talk about what we're thankful for. There's no gifts to unwrap like at Christmas.
Yeah.
So there's a much more, you know, it's easier to be like, hey guys, we've got several hours here where we're just going to be snacking and hanging out. Let's play some games. And yeah. So that one's by far the easiest for me. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say. I think probably around New Year's as well. I think Christmas, because Thanksgiving ends up being more like a day or two, or Christmas like ends up being like multi-day with the family. Like
fair.
Either we spend, you know, the day before Christmas and day of Christmas or whatever. Where Thanksgiving, you know, depending on how we travel, you know, we alternate with our families for each holiday. And so we'll do like Christmas with my family, but the Thanksgiving was with her family. And so, you know, if it's like Thanksgiving, you know, we're there for maybe 2 days, but like, obviously, like you said, Thanksgiving, just all one big prep. So not a whole lot of time to game and everybody's cooking and stuff. So you don't get that time. So yeah, I would say somewhere around Christmas would be more. I do enjoy all of the times, and I do try. I bring a stack of games to each of these events, and I do... You know, I always try to get something at the table if it's light or not. Do you have a favorite of the holidays? You prefer one or the other?
I was just going to ask you, do you have a top three, like, of the year, like, holidays?
I really like 4th of July.
Okay. Is that number one or number three?
I'd say 4th of July, I would say probably, I'm trying to think if there's anything that would really top it. Probably three. Thanksgiving 2, Christmas 1.
Okay.
I really do like Independence Day, 4th of July.
Nice.
I love that, like the cookout. I always do something, you know, get grilling or something over Independence Day, and we'll have a nice, I don't know, burgers or something. And we usually have a lot of people over, or we go somewhere that they can host. And so we just hang out. And then I usually, somebody buys fireworks and we just kind of hang out. So I do enjoy that a lot. But Thanksgiving, Christmas, though, this time of year right now is definitely my favorite between the food and then, you know, just the overall. I like it. I like it to be cold. It's nice. I enjoy the cold weather in the winter here. So,
okay. All right. Very fair.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cheat. We actually, I had an advantage. We talked about this at work not too long ago, but I will give Thanksgiving as an honorable mention, but does not crack the top three when
That's
I really
crazy.
Thought about it. So number three is actually a tie between Memorial Day and Labor Day. I kind of feel like they act as more or less a very similar holiday in what they do in America. Where it's basically like, we're just going to have a day off. And I know Memorial Day like has significance behind it. I don't want to be whatever. But like they both like, we're going to have a day off. The weather's like almost perfect.
Yep. Always cooking. Somebody cooks a bunch of food. Yeah.
Playing in the backyard. Like it's just a great day. Like I love those two. And then I have a hot take for number two. My number two rank is actually Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the opportunity. I don't care if you say it's a Hallmark holiday. I love the opportunity to celebrate my wife, and we go big. So I really love Valentine's Day.
That's cool.
And then, of course, Christmas is number one, which has only been amplified even further with having kids. Like that just cherry on top. So
Exactly. No, those are all. I don't hate the list, Jared. I think.
All right.
I think it's all right. You know,
it's all right.
It's all right. I can get by. No, but the Memorial Day, Labor Day, I was kind of thinking that as well. I think,
love it.
Because I think the same thing happens for the 4th of July as well. It's like, it's just a hangout and cook out and have people over.
Sure.
And so all of those things are really fun, and I think they're really good. So,
right on. Okay. Well, Ian, let's talk about some games. We've already mentioned we have different categories. So I think we'll alternate back and forth between the different categories, and then we'll just kind of see how it plays out.
Well, you start us off, good sir.
Okay, I'll do it. So we're going to start with two-player games. I've played two of these, and I've not played two of these. So we'll start with the ones I haven't played. First up is Tag Team. Tag Team is by Scorpion Musk, and it is a very quick 10 to 15-minute auto-battler with deck building. And the theme is very much focused around the classic arcade fighting games where you are just trying to duke it out, trying to be the hero. Well, I guess the team of these titans that are trying to overcome their opponent. It's very much head to head. It's very quick. There's lots of combinations because of all the different characters in the game. And I do have this on good authority from several different good sources that this game is very good. And so I'm excited to give this one a try. I imagine we will be reviewing this one in 2026. So that is Tag Team.
Okay. Yeah, no, it looks really cool. You obviously, like the art and all of those kind of animated art is really cool. So
for sure. And I think Scorpion Moss does a really good job of these two-player games. They were also the ones that did Sky Team. So they just find this really cool spot where they've got these two-player games that play quick, but also have a good amount of depth to them. The next one, I've heard people talk about it online, which doesn't always mean it's great, but I am very excited about it because it brings inspiration from Stratego, and that is Toy Battle from Repos Production. This is another quick two-player game where you're duking it out against your opponent, but instead of direct combat, you're deploying your troops. You're trying to have area majority and area control. And there's lots of different manipulation depending on the different abilities that the different toys have where you are trying to win the game. BGG says this one plays in about 15 minutes. So, and it's another quick one. There's lots of different map options. So there's lots of replayability there. And I imagine that all the toys bring a lot of unique flavor. I loved playing Stratego as a kid. It actually, we played a modified version at a camp that kind of ruined me for the base game. Where you like play in real life, where you're playing actual tag with Stratego pieces. Super fun. But anyways, so I'm excited to see what this one does. Very fun, very light, and looking forward to that.
Like, no. I mean, I still have Stratego games. I have a Star Wars one and a Civil War one.
Nice. Because
I still like, they're just honestly, that was one of the first games I like ever really played. I played a lot of it with my dad, and so obviously it's a classic game, and so if you can pull something from it, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I love, I'm going to talk about another one later that actually pulls inspiration from another classic board game, and I love when they take these classic games that didn't quite get all the way baked, put a new theme on them, and kind of get them all the way to the finish line. I love seeing that happen, because I feel like there's a lot of companies that are doing a good job of that right now, so that's very exciting. These next two I have talked about before. The first one is Lone Wolves by Wonderful World Board Games. I cannot emphasize enough how much I enjoy and recommend this game as a two-player, quick, strategic game to have in your collection. It says 15 minutes on BGG. When you're thinking about it, it's really closer to 25 to 30, but it's small, it's compact, it has a lot of depth to it, and I just really love this one. It really kind of stole my heart at Gen Con, and I'm really happy that it's in my collection. It's very accessible to a lot of different people, and I think that it's one that definitely deserves a spot. So that's Lone Wolves by Wonderful World Board Games.
Yeah, I still haven't tried that one. Looks very cool. I mean, the artwork I think is fantastic on it. You know, obviously it's a game around wolves and yeah, all these different types of wolves, and all the different suits are all different kind of wolves. I think it's so neat. And so the artwork on it is really good.
The artwork's great, and it takes that same kind of concept from Lost Cities, where you're trying to decide which hills to take and which ones to let go, with a nice twist on it. I never really got into Lost Cities. Like, Anne and I tried, but it didn't really fit for us. But for whatever reason, this one really clicks, and so I'm really happy with this one a lot.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
All right, one more in the two-player category for me. I raved about this one in 2024, and I'm bringing it back for 2025 because it has got some new expansions, and I want as many people as possible to be able to experience the world of Khan. This is Fate Forge Chronicles of Khan. It is a massive adventure campaign game where you're using an app. You're going through all kinds of different adventures with different puzzles and combats, and it's just such a fun, streamlined adventure that is perfect for two players. Highly recommend this one, and I wanted to bring it back in our 2025 holiday guide.
Yeah, that one's really neat, man. It's such a good experience. It's got everything that you want in this big campaign. So obviously the miniatures and all that, and all of the different art inside the game is just what you want. And that, yeah, that's a big box, but still, that's a really good one.
Well, even within it, like, there's such good organization, and it's so quick to set up the map and then tear it back down to move on to the next scene.
Yeah.
So really well done. I'm excited to run through the campaign again with some of the expansions and get some new storylines and things like that. So yeah, I highly recommend it.
Nice.
All right, man, what do you got?
All right. Well, we're going to go into some heavy games here.
Ayo.
So first of all, what we'll talk about is we have a little bit of a couple different kinds within a heavy game genre. We have a kind of a couple different dive-ins here. So what I really think, one, Ark Nova. Now, this is towards the top of the list here, by Fjordland Spiel, I think is how you say that. It's technically, it's 1-4 player. And so I haven't played it solo, but I've always wanted to.
It's game great that, solo. You got to try it.
And so anyway, Ark Nova, if you've not heard of it, you're building a zoo. That's basically it, man. I don't even know how else to explain it.
Sure.
It's Zoo Tycoon, the board game. And so it is so neat and so fun. Obviously, I love all the art on the cards. You have all the different animals and the, you know, the exhibits, and you get to put the exhibits on your board and like build out, and you have to, you know, kind of, you know, cut down some trees and stuff like that. It feels like that anyway. You're having to move, you know, plow some of the dirt out of the way to build the aquarium and all this different things. You're just construction, all the different, you know, you get projects and you get sponsors. Like, there's the whole thing of what a zoo is. And not that I run a zoo or know anything about zoo, what it takes to run a zoo, but I feel like it in this game, just so good. I mean,
it makes you more prepared that if you were to have to run a zoo, right, you could do it.
That's what it feels like. So, yeah. So that's top of the list. Very heavy game. And so I think if you really want something really kind of deep and fun, but this game is so thematic that it makes sense. There is just a lot. There's a lot in this game, and there's like three scoring tracks. And this is just a lot. Even for a gamer like myself, the first time I played it, it's a lot. And so this category is not for the faint of heart. And they're all really good. This is one that I've seen played. I have not actually played for myself, but I know that this is a highly ranked game, and it is on one of my lists to play and to get at some point. Really, what you're trying to do is you're taking either cattle or different things along this Great Western Trail. And so you're making stops along the trail, you know, getting stopping by the cart and upgrading your cart, or getting supplies for your trip and all those different things. And so you're kind of moving through this trail, going out into the West, or there's some Argentina stuff. There's different maps, but you're really just going through collecting supplies and going through and collecting points via, you know, basically making stops at different points. And then you'll make that in some of the games, you'll make that trip again with more upgraded things. And the more things that you collect, if you collect a lot of cattle and stuff like that, you'll gain points. You know, that's a very general, basic explanation of it. It's definitely way more depth than that. But it's a fun, thematic Western game of going on this trail and kind of making the journey out west of what the pioneers did. And I think it's such a neat way to put it into a game. I think they do it very, very well. If you look at how just the overall board looks, I think it's really neat. And so I don't know if you'd played this one or not, but it's definitely been highly rated on BGG for many, many years, and they make a new one every once in a while. There was one I think came out of last year or the year before as well. So very, very cool game. I would love to play it, but it's definitely one that is highly rated. The next one is one that I've been playing a lot, actually, and it's Botoku by Devir Games. It's a 1-4, but I really think it's like a 2-3 player game, really where it sits. But they can play it up to 4. I played it up to 4. It's totally fine as well. Botoku is this kind of Japanese cultural spirit animal land where you are using Botoku or, you know, all these different, you know, creatures of basically Japanese lore to basically go into the forest and, you know, do things. But
man,
really what it comes down
to... You're selling it, bud.
I know. It's such... This game is so hard to explain exactly what it is, because it is so... Like, there's so much to do in a game. And
sure.
I always have trouble explaining what people do. But anyway, players will have, like, yokai cards, which are, like, the mythical creatures. And so you'll use those creatures to unlock these dice. And so the dice, you get to put out, basically, you don't ever get to roll them, but you'll bump them up in power. And then you'll place them on the board, and then it allows you to do something. And so it's kind of like a dice placement, worker placement style game, where you're going to the different sections of the board, collecting spirits, collecting rocks, and doing different things, all these combos. And then my favorite thing in the game is that you get to go on a pilgrimage with either your, you know, spirit animals or your actual, like, pilgrimage or your pilgrims. And so you get to put them on this journey of walking through the gates and gaining points that way. Or you can put them on the spirit, you know, the walk of Botoku itself. Regardless, all of these don't make any sense if you don't know what I'm talking about at all. But really what it comes down to is this really, like, area control, dice, and card manipulation. And you have just so many opportunities on the board to really do what you want. It is like a sandbox of possible options of scoring.
That's true.
And there is so many paths to victory. And so really what the game comes down to is, are you able to trigger the different combinations of the path that you've created for yourself? And I think that's really cool, because in this thematic element, it's this kind of forest of great spirits, and you're going on this journey. And I feel like in the game, you do go on this journey, like, based on what cards you purchase and different things. That's the journey that is kind of set before you, and you take it and run with it. And
sure.
So it just is, it's honestly, like, it's kind of a low stress game, but also high stress game in a way. But it is pretty heavy. And
it's high stress. Don't let him lie to you.
I feel low stress when I'm playing it. I think the art on it is just so beautiful. And
the
I
art
just love
is
it.
Awesome. I'm not going to lie.
So, anyway, that's Botoku. And if you didn't understand anything I said there, that's totally okay. Just look it up. All right. Well, another one. And I didn't know if I should have said this during the two-player or not, because it's kind of two-player. But it's
Star Wars. This one's heavy. It is.
But it's Star Wars Rebellion. This is a little bit of an older game now by Asmodee. It's 2 to 4 player, but let's not kid ourselves here. It's a two-player game. I would not play this with a 4. I don't think it's fun at 4. And also, I recommend buying the expansion as well. I think that's highly necessary.
Required.
Yeah. But Star Wars Rebellion. If you have a Star Wars fan in your house that is a heavy gamer and has not heard of this game, I don't know how it's even possible if they're a Star Wars
fan. No, it's definitely possible.
But if they haven't, you have found the perfect gift for them, because Star Wars Rebellion is episode 4 in a box, and it is fantastic. You either take on the Rebels or the Imperials in the galactic battle of really episode 4, where the Imperials are searching for the Rebel base. And the Rebels are trying to build up a strong enough army to take on the Death Star. So you will do this, you know, you have cards and stuff that all very thematically kind of build this struggle between the two armies, and it's just so, it's political in a way. You have these cards that make it bring out the politics part of it, and you're trying to have these secret missions from the Rebel side, and the Imperials are trying to send their probe droids and all these different things. And so, again, it is Star Wars Episode 4 in a box. It's fantastic. And yeah, again, very heavy game, but overall, love it so much. Me and you have played this game a good amount as well, and I think it's always, you just feel this epicness of it.
It's still one of my favorite games. It's really good.
All right. Well, I'm not going to keep talking about heavy games, because that's only a very specific group of people. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about... let's see, some kids' games?
Kids' right? games. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. How about
let's go from really, 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 really heavy to really, 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 really light.
All right. So first up, we actually just got this from a Secret Santa on BGG. But this is Micro Macro Kids, the Crazy City Park. This is Where's Waldo in board game form. And this is the kids' version of the game. Micro Macro, we reviewed. And there was a lot of, you know, with the regular Micro Macro game, there's some scandalous, nefarious things going on where you might find some murders and some other things that are not kid appropriate. However, this one is very much in the, it's set up for kids, and it is one that is so much fun, and there's lots of different missions that you're trying to figure out what's going on. The artwork is delightful, and I absolutely recommend the Micro Macro. And if you're looking for kids, specifically the kids version, and this is from Spielwise. So that's that one. And then
I like that.
It's so much fun. So then I have two from Wacky Wizards, Wacky Wizard Games, the kid line of Wise Wizard Games. The first one we have already reviewed. It's Star Realms Academy. It is a two-player quick version of Star Realms where you are, it's very simplified. It's all iconography. I've already recommended this to so many different people who've ordered it and played with their kids, and they loved it. My 5-year-old was able to pick this up. She actually beat me just the other night. and so I'm very impressed with how accessible Star Realms Academy is.
Nice. That's good.
It's so good, man. It's a quick deck builder. All you're really trying to do is build up your currency and your ability to stay alive until you can destroy your opponent. And it's cute, it's fun, and I highly recommend it. The other one from Wacky Wizard Games, and we're going to be reviewing this one in December, is Push Push Penguin. Ian, I know that you have played Candyland at one point in your life.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this has, it is also similarly inspired in a way to Candyland, in that you are rolling the dice to determine how far you move, okay? And you are penguins, and you are moving closer to the ocean where the orca is going to eat you. And so the whole point of the game is to end up in second place, because if you're in first place at the end of the game, you're getting eaten by the orca.
Okay.
So, but the way it works is on your turn, you are going to, you have this cute little cup that matches your character's color. You're going to roll the dice around in the cup. It's two D6s, and then plop it down face down under the cup. You are the only one that looks at it first, and you get to decide which of the two dice you're going to use to advance, because you do have to continue to move down the slippery slope closer and closer to the end game. And so you have to decide, when am I going to jump out there because I need to be in second place, but I can't be too far ahead because then I'll get eaten. And so
perfect,
it's
this balance.
It's a fun little balance. There's some extra things. There's parts of the track that make you slip forward. There's parts of the track where you can push somebody else forward. So it's a cute, fun little game. And, you know, all three of my girls really like this one. And I think it's a fun, this is what Candyland should have been. And so I highly recommend this one for so many families that have young children.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's good. That sounds awesome. As a kid's game. I mean, I want to play it.
There you go. I mean, you know, I know you want to make me get eaten by the orca. That's what it's
absolutely
all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So those are some of my kids' games.
Very nice. Very nice.
Tell me about some party games.
Yeah, since we're talking about some, you know, family friendly stuff here, let's get into a nice big party of family friendly games. And so the first one I have is called Ito. It is by, let's see, what did I put here? I'm sorry. It is by, it's Arcane Wonders. It's also, there's Arclight Games. It's been done by a couple different companies. So excuse me if I'm that incorrect, because there's just so many different now touching this game. But
you just learned this game.
Well, I did. This game, I enjoyed it so much. So, it's straight up party game. It's like 2 to 10 players. You could probably play more of that if you really, really wanted to.
Wow,
but
that'd be so crazy.
That would be crazy. Don't do that. So basically, it's kind of this social game where basically one player will reveal a card that's going to be kind of the pitch, the cue. And so as an example, famous people you would like to be. And so one, there's a range. And so this range ranges from 1 to 100, where 1 would be, I would not like to be them, and 100 is I would like to be them. And as the table, each individual player has been given a card with a number on it, ranging from 1 to 100. So let's say I have number 50, or Jared has number 99. I don't know. Now, we kind of just go around the table at the table's pace, saying something that matches the card that we think that kind of fits this kind of pitch. And so let's say I have the number 50. And so I now take that card. I will put it face down. All these cards are kept
never
secret.
Showing it.
Yeah,
never
you never
showing
show it.
It.
You play it face down. And you say something that matches the category that we've talked about. As an example, let's say I have a numbered card and I put it down and I say, I don't know, George Washington.
Wow.
So
that's a 50, folks.
Right. Right. So you put it down in the middle.
You can already see where this is going.
You can put it down in the middle of the table. And so now everybody kind of sees that card. They're like, okay, you kind of have to just guess what they think as far as what the group thinks is what that card will be. So Jared thinks it's a 50. Now let's say later on, there's another card that somebody plays and they say Captain America. So now they place the card. So now, even though it's fictional,
not a real person,
but it does say it is. No, I forgot to mention this cue that I'm looking at specifically. It does say real or fiction. So,
okay, yeah, very good. Yeah.
So at Captain America, obviously not. No, he's real. What are you talking about?
Okay.
So let's say I think that's in the 90s. That would be great to be Captain America. So we put it over there. Now, the whole table does this until all the cards are played. And so you have to like slowly guess and kind of get a vibe for what each individual person's, you know, idea of what this cue means and what they think is important or not. After the end of all this, you flip the cards over and see how many you got correct in the correct order. You're trying to go from 1 to 100 in ascending order correctly. Again, all these cards are hidden on the table. Nobody truly knows what the numbers are. My favorite thing about this game is that the pure chaos and argumentative nature of all of the answers is hilarious to me. And it is a straight party game. I think it is so good of just hearing The banter between, well, I don't think it should go there. That guy's definitely not, that's not somebody I would ever want to be. And so then you're arguing back and forth. I think there's just some really, really fantastic game and party elements here that are unmatched. And that's what you want in a party game, is that kind of just fun banter between the table that everybody's laughing and having a great time. And so this welcomes that with a little bit of competitive nature, because you're like, and it technically is cooperative. Nobody's, you're not beating anybody. You want to cooperatively win. And so it always fun when you have a game that brings this all to the table.
Best part, I think, about this game is the cooperative aspect is very quickly forgotten, because it does not take long for someone to say something outlandish. And it's hard to, the negotiations break down as yes. far as where something should go.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's so bad, but so good at the same time. So that's Ito, I-T-O, Ito. All right, another one that we're kind of going to go through, like a couple different kinds of party games that I think are party games here. So another one, so that one's like cooperative. All right, the next one is not cooperative at all, kind of. It's called Good Critters. So this is another Arcane Wonders. I guess I like Arcane Wonders for this list. Good Critters is a game for really 4 to 8 players, but you are a critter inside this mafia world. And so at the table, there's a mob boss. The mob boss is only determined based off groupthink and who they think the mob boss should be for the round. You have to decide amongst the table, is this boss good enough or not? On the turn or for the round, the mob boss will take a pile of money and split it up as evenly as they think is even, which means nothing. They can put the money wherever they want. They can also give themselves all the money that they want. They'll divide this money amongst the table, and now the table has to vote. Do I agree with this mob boss? Do I like the outcome, or do I not like this mob boss? Or do I want to try and shoot him, or shoot somebody to my left or right, or try and rob the player to my left or right? Or do I not care at all, and I'm just going to try and hide? All of these options are taken on these little cards, and you pick one. And once the round is started, you flip one at a time, starting with the boss, and you go around the table. Now, the boss will remain the boss if he gets majority votes. Now, if everybody shoots at each other and one person said, yes, I like this boss, then the boss will retain his glory and still be the mob lord. So anyway, it's very back and forth. You're trying to negotiate with the table in a way that you get enough votes for yourself, but also you're trying to skim a little money off the top as the boss. And then you're also trying to shoot people, which I think is hilarious. This game is pure chaos. I guess in Ito-esque, it is pure chaos, but this is more for Guns and Glory and The Godfather itself more than anything. And I think it's hilarious and it has all these cute little creatures. So this is called Good Critters by Arcane Wonders. And it's just so fun.
I would like to clarify, Good Critters is all one word for this game.
It is all one word. Yes. Good Critters. You have not played this one, I don't think.
No, but this looks super fun.
But I want you to. It's so good. So, all right. Let's go on to another one a little different here. This is it's called Heat, Pedal to the Metal. You've probably heard us talk about this on the podcast. I've talked about it before.
No, we don't like this game.
Yeah, we don't like this game at all. It is a racing game for 1 to 6 players. With the expansions, you can go to 1 to 8 players. And so I think overall, like, this is such a great like in-depth party game. So you have some real critical decisions to make in this game. It's not like a lot of party games where it's kind of just everybody's kind of like laughy, goofy, fun time. I think this is a little different twist on, I think, what a party game could be, is that you can have a very large group in this game racing it out on a track. And I think it is so fun. Even if you don't know this, how to play this game very well, you can still do well. I've seen people that don't haven't played a lot of games still do very well. And so I think this game is so just well designed. You're shifting your car. You're playing speed cards to go around the turns very carefully. You don't want to burn through turns because then you'll spin out. And all this Formula One racing, I think it's really neat. And there's so many maps now. And now you can play up to 8 players. And there's a possibility for 12 players at some point. I don't know who knows what that'll look like. That'll be crazy. But overall, this game is one of my favorite games. I've been playing a lot of it, and the more I play it, I just want to play more of it. And so, excellent, excellent game, especially if you like racing, just like a little bit of competitive nature there. I think this is such a great game, even with a large group. So good. All right.
You just ran a tournament for this, too.
I did. We only had 4 people, but Still great.
No, you had five. You had five.
Oh, we did have five. Yeah, we did. But still, regardless, still great game. Now, we're going to go into back into racing, but in a different way. And it is Ready, Set, Bet, which we have also reviewed on this podcast. This game, dude, I can't say anything bad about this game. Like, it is horse racing, and you bet on the horses, and then you either have, basically, it's 2-9 Polaris, and this is by AEG. Sorry, he was by Days of Wonder. But anyway, Ready, Set, Bet is by AEG. And so, one, you can use the app, or if you're playing up to 9 players, which I sometimes have, is that I end up being kind of the house kind of betting. And so what I'll do is I'll roll the dice for the horses. You could also do that and then just bet as the house and watch the app, which is totally fine as well. The app is fantastic. And so when I have a really large group and we have a room and I can get it up on the TV, that's what I prefer to do because the app just does such a good job. And so basically you're watching a horse race on the TV or on the board itself. And it's so cool because you're watching this race and you're betting on it in live time. It is live action betting on the chips. And you have special abilities that you get in certain type of prop bets. And if you're into betting, like you know how this stuff works. And it's just so fun. Like you get all these cool stuff happening in live time. And it's so fun to watch the underdog or the low odds horse win the race and you get a huge payout. You play like 4 races and then you know, whoever has the most money at the end of the game. But it's just so chaotic. It's so fun. Everybody's just yelling at like the screen or the dice. And it's just so, so chaotic. I love it so much. And it's a great party game. It's a great, obviously you're going to have, it's going to be loud. It's going to be an enjoyable experience for everybody. And, you know, a non-enjoyable experience for maybe that one person that never wins anything, but that's still, it's so quick. You know, you play a game in maybe 20, 30 minutes tops.
Wowzers. Insanity.
You never know, Jared. You never know.
Anything could happen.
Anything could happen.
Man, I mean, between you and Derek, I imagine we have to run like a massive Ready, Set, Bet tournament at some point. It's inevitable.
No, it is. It is. I'm ready for it. I'm so ready for it.
All right, let's rattle off some family weight games pretty quickly, and we'll keep rolling here. So first up for me is Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
And that's a trick-taking game.
It is correct. A trick-taking game. It's from Office Dog, and I really enjoy this. It's a cooperative trick taker that you play 18 chapters as you go through the novel of The Fellowship of the Ring, and you are playing the different characters, and each character is going to have requirements that is going to be needed for that character, and you're going to have different chapter requirements. And it's just a fun take on trick taking. I think it takes the crew from Cosmos and takes it to another level, so highly recommend this one. Super fun.
Yeah, no, I think... excellent. You know, I like the crew, and I think this is just a kind of a different twist and obviously has the Lord of the Rings theme. So, yeah, so I guess we'll go back and forth here. So, one that I am a Dixit fan. Dixit's been out for a long time, but they have a Dixit Disney. And so, this is the one I would really am going to pick out just mainly because I think so many people love Disney. And this works really with kids, adults, all kinds. And the Disney part of it, so if you don't know anything about Dixit, basically, it has these really, really beautiful art cards, and they're, like, huge. They're, like, massive cards. And they have this beautiful, like, custom art. And on that art is very, like, obscure, like, you know, shapes and all these different things. They have so many different types of artists on there that do bring their own style to it. But basically, it's kind of an apples-to-apples vibe of, like, so if somebody's the clue giver, and they kind of pick a card from their hand, and then they kind of give a cue word that other people have to kind of match from the cards that they have in their hand and match what they say. So let's say, like, I don't know, like, I'm not very good at this game, but you could say something like, you know, a majestic creature or something, whatever. And so everybody picks cards from their hand to kind of match that thought of what you put in their head. And so we put these cards out. One, you're trying to, like, find the card that the clue giver gave. But then the clue giver wants some people to get it, not everybody. The reason why it's a great family game, though, is because it's just super fun in that there's just so much art on the table. All the kids can, you know, older kids can play, adults can play, and you know, you can kind of get creative in the words that you use. And so it kind of challenges. I think it's a good learning experience as well. Like, I always love trying to find like new ways to kind of communicate with your family. I think it really works better with your family because you know your family really well, and so you have these like hidden communication things that you can use. And so overall, and then the Disney aspect, I think, is just more family friendly than some of the older ones. And so now you have this Disney thing, and it has like, you know, like there was one with like Olaf kind of like hidden inside the card. And so like you have all these things in there that now you're bringing this Disney aspect. And I think that's a lot better than what the original Dixit was doing. And I think it would be a really good family game for, especially around the holidays. You have all these like Disney creatures and things inside the cards that you're kind of picking out and coming up with words to kind of get your family members to guess. I think it's really neat.
That's awesome.
That was by Libelud, is it Libelud? I think is
Libelud.
Libelud. So, there you go.
There you go. Next up for me, we either just talked about this game or we're going to be talking about it very soon. I Made You a Mixtape. This one is one I had my eye on a year ago. It has come out this year, and it is a blast, especially at a lighter game level. It is a simple I split, you choose game where you are putting together tracks for your mixtape. You've got to be able to keep balance and flow, and you've got to be able to decide what your opponents want and what you can negotiate into giving them to be able to keep for yourself the tracks that you want to be able to create the greatest mixtape. It is fast. It is fun. I really enjoyed this one. It had a little bit of a nostalgic bent with all the old songs. And so I definitely recommend this one as a family game. And that one's from Massive Asterisk.
Nice. Very nice. All right. So another one I got is, this is a very quick and hilarious family game. It's 2 to 6 players. It's called Cockroach Poker.
Okay.
There's a couple different ones out there, so any of them are good, but Cockroach Poker is done by, I think it's Dreamer Spiel, I think is something like that. It's another German company, so I'm really bad. I totally might have butchered that. But
it's all good.
Anyway, if you look up Cockroach Poker, there's only one game. But basically, on your turn, you're trying to get rid of the, you know, you're trying, there's only one loser at the table. If they run out of cards, they lose. And so you're trying to make fun of the cockroach of the table. And so basically, on my turn, I take a card from my hand. There's a bunch of different suits. Let's say the two suits we're going to focus on is the cockroach suit and maybe a bat as the other suit. So I take this card and I say, Jared, I'm going to put it face down in front of him. And I'm going to say, that is a cockroach. Now, Jared doesn't know if it's a cockroach or not. He has to decide if I'm lying or telling the truth.
You're lying.
He can either say, no, that's not a cockroach, or yes, that is a cockroach, or he can say pass. If he calls me out and calls out my lie and gets that correct, then I take that card and put it in front of me. If I get a set of like a 4 or 5, I lose. I'm the loser. He can also pass, which is my favorite thing in this game, is that I say, Jared, that's a cockroach. He takes the card. He looks at it. And then he gives it to somebody else at the table and says, no, that's a bat. So now Ian has said it's a cockroach. Jared has said it's a bat. That player doesn't know what it is at all, and so they have to try and decide who was telling the truth and who wasn't, or if they were both lying. I don't know. But regardless, this game is hilarious, fun, and such a good, quick game. This game takes like 15 minutes tops. You could play it even faster than that if you know what you're doing. It is just so funny. And yes, you will lie to your in-laws, but it's for fun. So
all in the name of fun, we lie to each other.
That's right.
All right. Oh, I guess I'm up. I was supposed to talk now. All right. These next two that I've got, we have reviewed. Actually, we've reviewed the rest of the last three on my list here, but they're great. And I got to play all three of these recently. Let me try again after I drink something. Holy crap.
Do I need to go? Oh, my gosh. Wow. I mean, you know, hey, whatever it takes, man.
Just one moment, please.
He's got to clear his throat of the cockroach.
Boy, it's dying. It's dying, Ian.
It's going away. It's going away. Just talk softer. You can talk whisper. I think I need to talk a little bit louder.
What about this?
That's fine.
My goodness. All right. Well, my voice is dying, but we're going to try and make it through.
Okay.
Goodness gracious.
I believe in you.
I don't.
Okay.
All right, my next, goodness gracious.
Well, I can talk about one of your games. He's going to get up. He's going to go get something. You can hear him in the background. Man, that's so sad. The next game we're going to talk about is Jared losing his voice. Jared, what do you have to say about that? Oh, good. He didn't have anything to say, but that's okay. He doesn't know.
What?
Yeah.
All right, let's try again.
Okay.
All right, next up for me is Nunatak, Temple of Ice. This one is from Cosmos, and I believe we've already reviewed this one, but it is such a fun game about building this ice temple, and it is competitive. You are wanting to be the best master builder. The final product is this massive 3D ice temple in front of you, and there's lots of different ways to score, lots of different strategy, and just a fun little game.
It looks great, too.
It's so cool on the table.
The temple, you actually put the actual peak on. It's so cool.
Yep. Lots. And like I said, there are lots of different ways to score points. There's no just one strategy. I got to play this one with a whole new fresh group who'd never played it before. They really enjoyed it just a week or two ago. So highly recommend this one from Cosmos. Nunatak, yep. Temple of Ice.
Nice. All right, well, I have a game called Fort by Letter Games. It's 2 to 4 players.
Had to get Fort, a Letter Game in there.
Yeah, I kind of had to sneak that in. So Letter Games is one of my favorite game companies. Whatever. You don't care about that.
Whatever.
We've talked about Fort on this podcast before, but Fort is are building a fort with your neighborhood friends, and you're kind of recruiting them to come join your backyard to hang out, and you want to be the great hangout spot. And you want your fort to be the best. It's a card game, mostly, and so you're just picking cards and playing suits to trigger certain, you know, actions. And so you're doing that all to build this great, massive fortress in your backyard. And I think it's so fun. I did play this with actually a family not too long ago. They don't play a ton of games, and he really had a great time. Like, he was like, oh my gosh, that was so fun. And so I do think... there's a lot of symbols in the game, but man, it is still, it's really fun though. It's just like, I came down to pick one card you think you want to play on your turn, play it. We'll go through it. And within like 4 turns, he had it. So it was so fun.
That's awesome. All right. Next up for me, these last two that I've got, do you have another one?
I do have another one, yes.
Okay, great. These last two for me are a little bit on the heavier side. They're not extremely heavy, but they are, I would say they're on the cusp of going away from light games into that medium light realm. But I encourage you, dear listener, if you are on the cusp, to take that leap, because these are so fun. We jump from Ian's favorite publisher of Letter Games to my favorite publisher, Stonemaier Games, as we talk about Vantage. Anna and I reviewed this one earlier this year. It is an excellent storytelling game, where you are going on an adventure in a brand new planet that you have crash landed on. You're not allowed to share actual card. You can't look at each other's cards. You have to talk about it like you are on comms in various parts of this world that you've crash landed on. You go on amazing adventures. It does play 1 to 6. I recommended it 2 or 3, but if you're in for a all afternoon kind of experience, then you can go to that higher player count and experience all that this world has to offer. And that's Vantage from Stonemaier Games.
Nice. Yeah, it's a good one. I enjoyed it. All right, another one I got is Stop Thief by Restoration Games. It's 1 to 4 player. This game was a game, I believe, in the either 60s or 70s called Stop Thief. It had this little technical calculator thing that you would type out the little algorithm. And so... anyway, Restoration Games brings old games back to life. And so what they did with this game is they made it into an app instead of like a little actual calculator. And so you do everything on the app. Your goal, cooperatively or, PvP, is that you are an investigator trying to stop the thief. On the application, so if you're on your phone, it has a bunch of like sounds and stuff of like the crime that was committed. So the crime starts in a building, and so he shatters some glass. And then each spot is numbered on the board, and so the criminal will move along the board, and the app will kind of cue sound. So there will be footprints on the inside, footprints on the outside. He breaks another window. He goes through a door. You're hearing these sounds, trying to use your deductive reasoning to figure out where on the board that the criminal is. You'll go and try and arrest him on a specific location. And again, you type in the loan number on the phone or the iPad, and you try and figure out and capture the, you know, the thief. You're stopping the thief. You'll do this a couple times until a certain amount of money that is won, or if you're playing cooperatively, you'll catch the bad guy a couple of times. Regardless, I think it's really fun. Each player has a specific deck that they use to move, and each player's is different. So I think every individual game feels very different in that way. Also, the criminals is completely random on what the app decides where the criminal will go, and so it's not always predicted. But then also there's an extreme difficulty, so you can make it a lot harder. Will he move in a very, very challenging way that makes it really hard to stop? Or, you know, all of the villains also have kind of special abilities that you can apply to them as well. Overall, these are all really good game. It plays really quick, 15, 20 minutes per round, and then the game overall doesn't take very long. But it's 1-4 player, excellent family game. I've played this with my family a ton, and they love it. It's just a simple little deductive game that you're trying to stop the criminal.
Nice. All right, last one for me is from Devere. Ian.
I can't believe this is happening.
I got to play this game recently, and this is a moment of I was wrong.
Apology is needed.
I think so. I think I was too harsh on this game the first time around. Like, and it's weird to say that because I think I still recommended it.
Yeah.
But I don't think I gave it enough love. Rock Hard 1977 from Devere.
Wow. Speechless. Speechless. That's crazy.
It is a worker placement game where you are working to just live the dream, as it were, to become a famous rock star in 1977. There's all kinds of different things that you can do, from getting a record deal to getting into some scandalous behavior in the backstage to making a whole bunch of money to anything that you can imagine. It is probably in this game. I really had a lot of fun with this the last time that I played it. Really just kind of opened my mind up to new ways to play this game, and it has so much to offer. So I highly recommend as a taking the leap from light games into medium. Yeah, it's close to a medium game, but still, I think it would speak to so many different people that they could get into it. This is Rock Hard 1977.
I mean, I love this game. It's candy in the game.
Yes.
But there are references to, you know, the normal rock star, you know, lifestyle. So, you know, take that with a...
It is not a true family game. Let's put it that way.
That's right.
But
all right.
It is good. Ian, I will say I still don't like the butt, but
yeah,
that's the only thing.
I think it's good. What? Anyway, all right. Well, I've got one more, and so this one is actually, it's going to be a little funky because I haven't received this product yet, but I think it's actually really neat. So it's called Unmatched Adventures.
If you were going to bring this up.
Unmatched Adventures. Unmatched is a series, I don't know if you ever played Star Wars Epic Duels, but basically each character that you play has a specific deck. They have very special abilities that you do, and your deck plays very different than the other people at the table. In Star Wars Epic Duels, you would fight each other until, you know, somebody was eliminated. Same thing happens in Unmatched. There's Unmatched of, like, a bunch of different kinds, so I'm not really talking about those. But it's same thing. You have a specific deck. You play that character. They have, like, I don't know, Bruce Lee versus King Arthur. I don't know. Like, make up whatever you want. There's also Marvel characters as well. Unmatched Adventures, though. Unmatched Adventures is kind of a cooperative way of playing that game, is that you play as... Each, again, you play your own character, but you're going through this adventure playing against a villain. The one that I'm really picking out here is because I'm also interested in it. We'll be receiving it soon. Is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles version of this game.
They have
other ones as well. But this is the one, like, again, everybody loves Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And so if you have a family member that is really interested in that, this game should be available for Christmas. I don't want to, like, overpromise. It was supposed to be released in September. It should be here in the next couple weeks, so it should be widely available for during the Christmas. You might just have to buy it pretty late into December. But regardless, you are the Ninja Turtles fighting off multiple villains inside this box, and you're going to be either taking off Shredder or Krang. And so you're going to be playing those villains inside this, going through this kind of adventure, again, you get to play all of the different Ninja Turtles, and you kind of either split them. You know, obviously, this would be really good at four players, a nice small family game, but the miniatures look so cool. And you kind of go through the adventure playing cards. You get to play through your specific deck. Again, that is really unique to that individual person. And you get to do all these cool abilities fighting off the little minions. And so, again, this is a cooperative game. It can be played competitively as well. You don't have to, but the specific box is meant to be the heroes versus the villain.
Sure.
And so this is going to be it's going to be a lighter family game for sure, but there's going to be some things and some challenges that you'll come across. It's also like maybe a little bit longer than some of the games we've mentioned, but overall, this game should be available. It's called Unmatched Adventures, and this is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles edition to that. But you can look, if you want to know more about Unmatched, there's Unmatched and then Unmatched Adventures. All of those are really, really good, and this is also done by Restoration Games as well. They always do a fantastic production. I have already some Unmatched as well, and they're beautiful sculpts, and the cards are really good quality. The board's pretty, so there's that.
Nice. All right, that was a lot of games.
Yes, lots of games.
Let's talk about some accessories for said games.
Yes. Tell us more, Jared.
I'm going to start because this first one that I found, I'm very intrigued by.
Okay.
I've not bought it yet, but I think I'm going to. I think I'm ready to pull the trigger. The company is called Board Butler.
Board Butler.
And the way this works, you know what's terrible, Ian? You open up a game box and you pull out this big old board. It's got to have like six folds on it.
Yeah.
And underneath that is a bunch of cubes and cool minis and all these things that make the game look great. And then you know what happens? You lay out the board, and it doesn't lay flat.
Yeah, I've seen this.
It's super disappointing, right?
Yep. Every time. Almost every game I play, because I just don't get them all to the table super often.
So. Yeah, and so those creases just crease. But Board Butler is here to save the day. And what it does, it's very minimal. Another thing that I like, because I don't like my accessories to take up a whole bunch of space, but it basically helps flatten your boards with these little clear clips that go on the edge of your board. It also, like, you, if you can put four on there, you can actually physically pick up the board and move it if you need to.
Wow.
Which is very cool. So I'm very intrigued by this. It says that it'll connect multiple boards together. So I think I'm ready to pull the trigger. I would love to get this for Christmas because I want my boards to lay flat.
I mean, that does look pretty neat. Yeah, that's pretty good. So, yeah, absolutely a good thing to have at the table, which is kind of what we're talking about here. So these are any accessories. And so, like, we're going to talk about a couple things. I don't have as many as you do, but
that's okay.
I'm going to read off your list because, obviously, snacks at a game.
100%.
Like, if you don't know what to buy somebody, you know, around this time, you know, buy them specific, some gaming snacks. You know, the gummy bears always go, you know, the dots, pretzels, chips, always those things. Always a really, really nice thing to have at the table.
Let's be clear. It needs to be the Black Forest gummy bears.
That's
peak gummy bears.
Yeah, those are pretty good. But no, I think so. Another thing, and I think we might be able to talk about this a little bit, both of us, but Etsy is a really good place. So if you know there's somebody that likes a very specific game, Etsy, and just like go to Etsy and search that game. If you like have a family member, you're like, oh my gosh, they play this game. Even if it's like Magic the Gathering, like whatever cards or whatever. I mean, there's card sleeves and stuff all over Etsy, but there are specific tokens and stuff you can find that are really, really cool off Etsy. And so
really,
I don't know if you had anything else to add to that, because I think there's just so many opportunities there.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, like a lot of games will have just the basic cubes, right? Because publishers are trying to save money. But Etsy will have, like, so for example, in Lords of Waterdeep, you take those very generic cubes and turn them into actual little characters.
Yeah.
Or Wingspan, where it, like, has all these special eggs or birds or whatever. Like, there's certain games get more love than others, but there's a lot of creative people out there, and we're getting to a time in history where it's very easy to make things, mm-hmm. thanks to 3D printing and woodworking and whatever else. And so there's lots of cool options. And I know it's fun to get new games. I also really like being able to bling out the games that I love to play because it really enhances the experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So one more on the blinging out that was not really brought up. Metal coins changed the game.
Yeah.
Nothing feels better at the gaming table than metal coins.
I agree. Yeah, and so, yeah, metal coins are great. Card sleeves, so you can buy some really high-quality card sleeves. Dragon Shield, I know
Jared is
a big fan of those. I think there's some other good ones as well. There's ones with specific backing. Personally, I've used, you know, Ultra Pro at one point or another. They're okay, but the game Genix, which have all the different art, especially for Marvel Champions, they have a lot of the different ones for Marvel Champions. I'll mention GameGenic as well because they have the player boards for a lot of the Marvel. So if you like have a Marvel fan and you're like, okay, like a nice little playmat for them would be really cool. GameGenic has a lot of the Marvel Champions ones, but like they're Marvel themed playmats. You can use them for anything. And so they have a bunch of different ones and they all really look really nice. I have more than one of them and they're really, really nice. They feel good and they have like small too. Like they're actually like just individual player ones. They also have some large scale ones for the Marvel Champions stuff, but you know, those are always really, really good. I always love a nice playmat. I think it makes the game, I don't know. I hate playing card games without them now. It's so annoying. Like I don't want to have to struggle to pick the card up. Like just give me a playmat. Let me pick the cards up super easy.
No, I get that. I will say like, know your gamer because Ian loves playmats. I think they're cool, but I hate storing them. And
well,
so you gotta
know. I don't like
storing
either, but
I know. But like you choose. You're like, I don't care. I'm still gonna take a playmat.
Yes,
you choose to take on that burden.
I do.
I would prefer not to get playmats as often because I've got to figure out what to do with them. But they are cool. I would encourage know your gamer.
Yeah.
So organizers are another good one. So it's great to get new games. It's great to get cool stuff for the games. But what we really want in life is more time. And one way to get more time back is by having organizers that help us get to the game faster. Lots of great options here. So I would say just nothing more than 10 or 15 minutes of research will kind of get you to be able to figure out the best organizer for that game. And it becomes a very helpful tool for the gamer in your life. And then the next one I've got is board game bags.
Absolutely.
We got to be able to carry our games to our game night. And you don't have to go crazy. Like I know there's some bags out there that are like $200 and $300. You don't have to do
No.
I personally highly recommend the $35 Miniature Market game bag.
Yeah, those are nice.
That one it's been very consistent for me for years. It fits a lot of games. It's a good one. Either that or whatever you want to go with is fine, but I do highly recommend that.
Yeah, no, those are nice. I like those bags. I've used one that was similar. Mine's still kind of ripping apart, so they don't last forever, but they're not that expensive. So always a good positive thing there of just being able to carry multiple games. But really, one last thing I do want to mention is, like you said, organizing. There are like game trays. There's also I bought a set off Amazon of just random containers, and those were absolutely amazing. Any types of these little token containers, they have like packs of them now of like all different sizes. I bought like one for Botoku, which we talked about. Like that has so many tokens in it. And so I like that game is so much easier to play now because of the setup of that. It's not even like a designated organizer for that game. It's just token holders, game trays, all of those things. I love. They're great and they're cheap. They're great stocking stuffers. Yeah. Like, those are good things to get, so.
Well, in some ways, like, having a generic set is almost better than getting a game specifically for that game, because if you get it for that game, I got to figure out how to store it. But if I'm using it in every game, it can just have a designated spot on the shelf, and then comes out as you, like, use them to hold different tokens. So I think that's a great idea as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, schedule game nights. Even if you don't want to lead the scheduling, like, offer to be like, hey, let's set aside this time and play games. The gamer in your life wants to play games with you. I can say that with absolute certainty.
Yes.
And they want to be able to get the games to the table that you can't always have time for. We just got SETI, which is this massive space exploration game that I'm very excited to play. But I also know I'm only going to play it once or twice a year. But helping create those opportunities to be able to play those games or to get in shorter games, whatever. Like, that's what we're all about, is being able to play the games. So scheduling game nights, setting up those nights, whether you're directly there or maybe offering to babysit so that other people can play, whatever it may be, I can assure you that those gifts are very meaningful. So anyways, that's all I got.
All right. Well, that's it. That's the guide. We have guided the path to the people.
Yep.
And
thank you, people, for going along the path.
Yes. And on this journey of the holidays, I hope that everybody does have a really, really good holiday.
Yeah.
And it gets a lot of gaming in. I hope you, you know, even if you don't know what games to play or bring, you know, everybody's got something hanging around to play. And I don't discourage anyone from playing what's available. So
that's right. Yep. Thanksgiving is this week. So I do hope you enjoy it if, you know, that's your thing. If it's not your thing, I hope that you're able to find something else enjoyable this week and that it maybe involves a game. So with that, we say thank you for listening. If you want to give feedback on any of the titles that we talked about today, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Please reach out to us in a multitude of different ways that we have linked in the description below and check us out. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, subscribing on YouTube and hitting that like button. Following us on socials if that's your thing. Join the conversation on Discord. All these heroic actions are immensely helpful as we continue to try and grow. Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for the cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chisholin for the How to Play background music, which I don't think made it into this episode, but we say thank you anyways.
There you go. Turkey.
In the meantime, may your turkey stay warm. May your gravy stay savory. May your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed. And your experiences at the table, whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever holiday you celebrate, may they be ones to remember forever.
That's right. And we are thankful for you and you and Jared. I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful to our listeners. Have a happy holidays.
Toodles.
Toodles.